Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 36, for Friday, the 18th of October, 2011. My name is Craig Jones, and I'm joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Hello.
You sound tired.
It's Friday, end of the week.
Yes, it's been a long week, and I know I'm tired. I'm sure you're tired too. So let's get this over with and get back to our enormously productive lives.
Sleep.
Yes. All right. So this is our technology show. We always tend to do technology stories on Fridays, and possibly the most important story of the last couple weeks to come out is the release of Ice Cream Sandwich. So, Chemslave, what's Ice Cream Sandwich?
Well, it's two pieces of cookie with ice cream in between them. And it's cold, and you eat it, and you're happy.
Exactly.
I love ice cream sandwiches.
I do, too. Well, that does it for this show, Chemslave. Thank you for listening to us, and we'll see you again next week. No, I'm joking. No, Ice Cream Sandwich, in the context of technology, is the latest Android version. You know how they have these cutesy dessert names for their Android releases? Like 1.6 was Donut, 2.0 was Eclair, 2.1 was Eclair, not 2.2. 2.2 was Froyo. Froyo frozen yogurt, by the way. That's what that means, Froyo.
Yo-yo.
Yeah. And 2.3 was gingerbread. 3.0 was honeycomb. And now 4.0 is ice cream sandwich. Now, ice cream sandwich has the potential to be one of the biggest releases in Android history, almost as big as 1.6, which established Android as we know it today. So, what is so special about Android 4.0? Chemslave, do you have any knowledge about Android 4.0?
No, I'll be very happy for you to explain to me and the audience what's so great about Ice Cream Sandwich.
Do I detect a hint of skepticism coming from you?
Yes.
Are you not a big fan of Android? How dare you?
I don't use Android. Why should I care?
I actually don't. Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't use it either, to be honest with you. I do have a Nexus One phone, which was like the original real Google phone. And I like it, but I don't use it as my regular phone. I have an iPhone 4S. That I just love. But no, Android is important because Android informs iOS and iOS informs Android. They both live with each other, and features that are popular on one have this really funny way of going on to the other. It's kind of like an incestuous relationship going on there. And Android is important because the latest iOS release, iOS 5, takes several Android ideas, such as the notification system. It's a drawer-type notification that you swipe down from the top. That's taken right out of Android. And several other things as well. But Android 4.0 is a special upgrade. It's tough to discuss without getting really, 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 really technical, but I'm going to try my best. Android 4.0 is the first OS that combines tablet and smartphone releases together. In previous releases, 2.3 Gingerbread was the highest you could go for smartphones, and 3.0 Honeycomb was the highest you could go for tablets, and they did not exist with each other. Honeycomb was more advanced, but the features were only capable of existing on the tablet. They didn't go back to the phone. So this is the first release that has them both, you know, in the same code. If you install it on a phone, it's a phone. If you install it on a tablet, it's a tablet. Now, one of the big things about Android 4.0 is it's totally redesigned in terms of UI. It no longer has that kind of bad retro 80s, like, sci-fi techie look. It's much more clean, much more refined. It looks nice. It looks pretty. It really does. It's taken the best elements of Honeycomb, including some very Tron-like imagery, and puts it on the phone, and to good effect, in my opinion. It's a very clear, very crisp look, and it's a worthy overhaul in terms of UI. Also, they have taken a big leap forward in terms of combating the issue of fragmentation, in that certified Google devices that have the With Google branding on the back will have to guarantee upgrade pathways within 18 months of release. So any future release of Android will have to be installed on the phone. That begins with 4.0. So that's a big deal. That helps combat fragmentation. Also, for programs that the phone carrier installs, you can hide them. You can't technically uninstall them. But unlike previous versions of Android, that unless you basically jailbroke the device by rooting it, you couldn't delete those applications. Now you can. You can delete, you can hide any application you don't want to see, including what we call bloatware, like trial game programs, for instance, and things like that. You can hide those on the phone now. And you can also hide the custom UIs that manufacturers like to just glob on there. You've been able to do that in the past, but now it's much more simple. It's much more it's a much more clean way of doing things. You know, the way I talk about it, it almost sounds like there's not much going on, but it really is important. I just I'm struggling to talk about this without talking about the SDK and all that stuff, because it's
I'm going to interrupt you here for a second. Okay, I'm an iOS user. I have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Is there anything in here that would sort of point me to a direction? Hey, maybe I should get an Android phone.
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
There's nothing. Absolutely nothing that I can think of that would ever make me think, oh my god, I need to get Ice Cream Sandwich over iOS. Now, they do have some interesting things. I have just been reminded of Siri, the iOS voice dictation and virtual assistant application. Android does not have a direct analog to Siri, but it has drastically expanded and improved upon its voice recognition software, its voice search, its voice dictation software. So now when you hit the little microphone button to dictate something, the results come back almost instantaneously. It is exceptional. It looks like it's going to be very good. That being said, it is not contextual like the iOS implementation is, but it's still a big improvement. And also, you have these little cutesy things, like instead of a passcode unlock or a pattern unlock, which you've had in Android for a long time now, now you have this thing where phones that have a front-facing camera can scan your face and recognize that it's you and automatically unlock for you.
See, if you have a jailbroken iOS device, you can do the same thing. I've never gotten it to actually work well, maybe because I have long hair or something, I don't know.
Well, you know, also, I used
it's
to...
It's a jailbreak device.
Yeah, I used to always jailbreak mine as well. I'm probably not ever going to do that again. I didn't have a terrible experience, but I just don't feel it's necessary. But when we talk about this stuff, you have to talk about it as iOS ships, you know, out of the box. Because yes. That's how 99.9999% of people use the devices. And that's how Apple intends you to use them. So, yes, you can do a whole lot of things with a jailbroken iOS device, including put Android on it. but
somewhat.
Well, yeah, it depends. If you have an iPhone 3G or an original iPhone, it works pretty well. iPhone 3GS, it works pretty badly, and you can't do it yet on an iPhone 4 or a 4S. But anyway, I tend to think of these things in both Android and iOS in their pristine form. Now, you know, you bring up a good point, though, because Android proponents like to say about how open it is and how if you want to do anything on your iOS device, you've got to jailbreak it. But if you want to do anything extra on your Android device, you've got to root it to get access to the base level of the OS and be able to make system-wide changes. It's almost the same thing. It's just not as easy to do. So you do make a good point in terms of jailbreaking that, you know, Android devices go through a jailbreak process as well.
I remember my one friend, one coworker from work, he was like, telling me about, like, the whole Amazon store and about the whole, you can get, like, a free app of the day and stuff. And he was like,
yeah, I love that.
And he's like, yeah, but I had to get it. I had to go through this weird convoluted process to actually install the Amazon, like, store.
That's not true.
My phone.
That's not true. I'm not saying he lied to you. I'm just saying he didn't know what he was doing. And he probably took a very long way around. Because all you need to do is put in your email address on the Amazon.com website, and it'll send you a link to the application. And unless you're on AT&T, this has changed now, but in the past, unless you were on AT&T, you'd be able to download that application immediately.
I think he is on AT&T, so whatever.
Yeah, they did a special thing. They were one of the few carriers, the only carrier in the United States, at least, to do this. They basically did the walled garden approach that Apple's done and made it so that you could not install third-party applications from outside the Android marketplace. So that's why he would have had to root his phone. AT&T stopped that, and they even issued updates to previously released phones to give them the functionality to install outside of the Android marketplace. So that's no longer the case. Ice Cream Sandwich, this is just a lot of refining, but it is very, very different. The speed's been optimized. Like I said, the really big deal about this is that it combines both tablet and phone functionality, and that has a lot of impact on application making. Because as you are aware, and many people in the audience are aware, Apple's method for delineation between iPad and iPhone programs is very simple. They're two separate pieces of code. You can make a universal binary, but that just means that you have two programs in one wrapper, and you can install that, and whatever device you're on accesses that portion of the code. But basically, it's two programs. That's why some of the more complex programs will be iPad-only, and they'll have an iPhone version, if that's applicable. It's just too difficult to make a universal binary for complex titles. Anyway, for Android, it's totally different. It's one set of code that scales up naturally to fit the size of the screen. And they kind of have to do that. Because of the wide variation in screen size. But the downside to that is that the bigger the screen you get, the less optimized it is to make use of that real estate. So you're going to be finding that tablet applications on the Android side will not be the specialized, beautiful-looking applications that you get on iOS on the iPad. So I can envision that being an issue for the Android ecosystem down the road. But on in terms of the phone, I do have to say that the biggest thing about this is that it's going to be open sourced. Honeycomb was not open sourced. That was closed sourced the whole time. And people did, a lot of people didn't even realize that because Android was supposed to be this open source project. But Google, for one reason or another, just did not feel comfortable releasing that code out to the public. But Ice Cream Sandwich will be open sourced, so anybody can take that code and do with it what they will. So Amazon's probably going to update their Kindle Fire sometime next year with this Ice Cream Sandwich, if they feel it's necessary. Of course, they do a totally redesigned UI, and they make use of none of the of Google's applications. But that's one of the biggest deals, that it's going to be open sourced. This is the first release, by the way, that you get to see the UI redesign being inspired by a man named Matias Duarte. He is the man that created the WebOS UI. You know that card action that you can swipe to get rid of a card, and they'd windows would be cards, and they'd stack on top of each other. You know that WebOS look?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the one who created that. And he left Google. I'm sorry, he left Palm just before they were acquired by HP. I think it was after it was announced, though. And he went right to Google, and he's now the head of UI for Android. And you're starting to see WebOS-like gestures pop up in Android. And I suspect that in Android 5.0, you know, God knows what the hell that's going to be called, I wouldn't be surprised if you see even more refinement. So that's Ice Cream Sandwich. I probably didn't do a great job of explaining it. It's tough to explain without getting into the APIs and getting into development, which is, by the way, not my area of expertise, so I wouldn't do a great job of that anyway. But I certainly would not want to get into that with this audience. It's not appropriate. I don't know. What do you think? Have you seen pictures of Ice Cream Sandwich? I mean, it looks nice, I think.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. I looked at one of the links. This is my next link, and I looked through all the pictures that they have, and it does look pretty. It's just that pretty is not the only thing that I think about when I'm buying a phone. It's also functionality. Can I do with it what I want to do? Will it work for me?
And
pretty is not the most important function I have on a phone.
Yeah. Well, likely you will be able to, but I still don't think it's going to be as user-friendly as the iPhone. And I don't know if Android will ever get as user-friendly as the iPhone. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do, though. All right, so, Chemslave, you're going to kill me with this story, aren't you?
Yep. Cell phones are officially safe again.
Oh. I'm not going to die?
No, you're not going to get brain cancer. You're not going to die.
So I'm not going to get an X-ray? It's going to be I'm going to have a tumor the size of a cell phone in my brain?
Well, at least not from the cell phone itself.
I thought we were supposed to all die from cell phone use.
That's what some people would want us to believe, and now some people want us to believe that they are now safe.
I don't know. I've seen studies. Studies show that there's a link between cancer and cell phone use. So that means cell phones must automatically be bad, and that the whole human race is is heading towards extinction because of it.
Well, I always, when I see studies saying one thing or other, I'm always skeptical. Because there's a link between cell phone use and cancer. Well, guess what? Everyone uses cell phones, so of course there'll be a larger, you'll have a large thing of, hey, I have cancer and I use a cell phone, so that must mean I got cancer from my cell phone.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Okay, because I am a chemist, I've gone through all the brainwashing, quote unquote. And the whole thing is correlation does not mean causation, because you can correlate that. So people who have cell phones have cancer. There's like people who have cancer also use cell phones. Doesn't mean that their cell phone use caused their cancer. Because I could probably go to like one of the local jails and go to like the death row or those who murdered people and say, hey, do you like ruffled or plain potato chips? And if for some reason all the majority of the murderers, or even all of them, say, hey, I like ruffled, like the Ruffles potato chips, would that mean that people who like ruffled potato chips are also murderers? I don't think so. Because I personally like ruffled potato chips, and I have not killed a person.
So you say.
Yeah.
Give him some time, ladies and gentlemen. Give him some time.
Yeah, there are these douchebags who I dislike.
Oh, dear.
Have pink ceilings.
Is that a reference to me?
No. You don't have a pink ceiling, do you?
That's the insulation. It's not paint.
Ah.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, this might just be the Chem Slave show next week. Who knows?
You'll know by the end of next week, or by the start of next week.
Yes, evidently we will. All right, so I don't really have much to say about this. I don't have a medical background, so I can't really talk about it too much. All I can say is I'm not surprised there's no correlation. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the accurate study and all the other ones have been inaccurate.
I wouldn't be surprised if sometime next week we'll get another study says, I'm sorry, but the previous study is incorrect. Cell phones are killing you are actually starting to raise up an army are going to kill you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's guaranteed to happen. Yep. All right, so that was a quick show. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't see any other links. Do you?
I don't think so. All right, so if you agree or disagree with anything that we have said on today's relatively short show, or if you wish to give us any tips, suggestions, email us. Our email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And if you go to that website, justgettingbypodcast.com, you will see links to all of the stories we have discussed and links to previous stories, previous shows, and links to subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcast or client of choice. So, on that note, Chemslave, it's been a good week, and I will talk to you again on Monday.
Yep, talk to you then.